I suspect we'll have a pullback in the metals prices, but I do think this is a bull market that's going to go down in history as one of the biggest bull markets. There's some, you know, besides the fact we were due over time, you know, it's about every 12 years and it's been about 14 or 15. You get a bull market in the resource sector because you get underinvestment in all the commodities and the prices go up, and then you see more money flowing into the natural resource stock sector. So we were due for that. And on top of that, we've got, you know, the geopolitics that's going on right now. I'm not in the producing side. So my first advice to people would be, if you're listening to this and you don't know what the junior exploration space is, and this is the first time you heard it, you don't need to be investing in that space. It's really a small slice of your pie. You're trying to get a huge return with high risk, but you're not risking the whole pie. I like Kincora Copper. Another company, since we're just doing companies, is I know you've interviewed him and out at Rick's conference, Revival Gold. Revival's a little different, I mean, for me, because it's a bigger market cap company. It's still tiny, but, you know, I think Revival's market cap's probably close to, what, 180, 200 million?
Yep, Canadian. Yeah. 180, go ahead.
But, you know, Hugh Agro is one of the principals that helped found Kinross, again, people. He came on to that company, I believe, when it was under $1 billion market cap, and when he left, it was over $10 billion market cap company. Kinross is a recognizable name. Revival Gold was the company he started because he believed the price of gold was going to rebound. He started a little bit early. I think it was 2018 or 19, but he's correct and gold's rebounding. He's put two tremendous assets together in the United States, which is important, both in Utah and Idaho.
Jeff Phillips, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, Andy.
Thanks for coming on. It's great to see you, and it's been a good couple of months since I've had you on last, and it seems like the few times I've had you on, and then again now, I believe this is the third, gold, silver keeps on going up. Let's talk about the market first here. What's the kind of I'm not trying to get an end price from you, but what can this continue is what I'm trying to get at. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that's been a question all year. You know, we've seen gold and silver doing well. We've seen other commodities, copper's doing well. I mean, it's funny, it seems like when we have done these interviews, it's been a big day for gold. It's, what is it, December 11th today? Is it a Wednesday or a Thursday? I can't remember, Andy.
Yeah, it all goes together.
It's Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Thursday, there you go. So, you know, I think gold's up 70, 75 bucks an ounce, and I saw silver percentage rise was up more today. So, yeah, you know, I mean, when you say can it continue, it doesn't continue without a break. We had a pullback back, you know, during the New Orleans Investment Conference in gold. I think I've done a couple interviews where I talked about it. It surprised me that people were so enamored by that week-long pullback. At the time, it was about a week, and people were like, you think that was the top? And everybody was asking me that at the New Orleans Gold Show, and I'm pretty sure when everybody's asking me if it's the top, it's not the top. So, right. You know, we had a little pullback, and really a couple of days later, it wasn't very long. So, yeah, I suspect we'll have a pullback in the metals prices. But I do think this is a bull market that's going to go down in history as one of the biggest bull markets. There's some, you know, besides the fact we were due over time, you know, it's about every 12 years and it's been about 14 or 15. You get a bull market in the resource sector because you get underinvestment in all the commodities and the prices go up, and then you see more money flowing into the natural resource stock sector. So we were due for that. And on top of that, we've got, you know, the geopolitics that's going on right now, which, you know, is the security of supply. And, you know, I've been, you know, since the first rare earth boom back in 2008 and 9, I was screaming that the Chinese, you know, control this market. And for a while, people listened, but it went away. But this time, the government, the U.S. government, the European governments are actually taking action. You see the U.S. government making direct investments into natural resource companies and doing deals to make sure that even if the prices of those metals fall, you know, if the Chinese or the Russians or, you know, anybody else decides to drop more stuff on the market, that they've got a guaranteed buyer in the U.S. government. So I think this bull market's going to be a really big one.
Got it. You mentioned rare earths here. I wasn't going to ask this, but I want to ask it, is what other commodities do you really like besides gold and silver? Because it seems like all the commodities are starting to really to catch up. You also mentioned copper, but yeah, talk about that.
Well, you know, I like a lot of the metals, but, you know, you brought up copper, and I'll tell you that I like uranium also. And I like those two commodities for the reason that, you know, unless you're not turning on the internet, you hear something about AI every day and this AI boom and, you know, Oracle doing this and Microsoft doing that and just the massive amounts of money being spent on this AI buildup, which is very real AI and will be huge like the internet. But obviously there's probably a misallocation of capital going in now, but it is going to be big. Well, in order to power all those AI ideas and robotics ideas, you're going to need more power, and that comes from uranium. You're seeing a lot more stuff in the news, big companies like Apple and Microsoft, and you know, taking an interest in either you know, actual producing nuclear facilities or backing these small modular plants. We don't produce enough uranium in the United States. Matter of fact, the U.S. government, I don't know, a month ago, made it a said they're going to start a strategic reserve. So you know, uranium is a big player for energy in that, and we don't produce what we consume. So I really like uranium. I like U.S. uranium and safe jurisdiction uranium assets. And then again, of course, copper goes into everything. So all of these data centers and AI buildouts are going to take a lot more copper. Not to mention, you know, electric vehicles. I mean, copper goes into everything. And again, we've underinvested in copper. If you look at the profile, the production's going down, less stuff's coming online, the copper prices are going higher. So if you like the whole AI thing, I think you need to look at copper and uranium as crucial to that happening.
Yeah, really on that note, I've looked at it like this, to use a gold mining analogy, if you would. The people that made money during the California gold rush, if you would, were the people selling the product to the gold miners, if you would. I take that to strategic metals or copper or these AI centers, as you mentioned. Again, you said something else. There's a lot of misallocation, or that's real, but those stocks are so valued, so high. But I'm like, yeah. I'm going to make money on really selling to those companies. And what do they need? They need power and they need copper. So that's my play on that. If you
want. Yeah, I agree with you. We're speaking the same language.
Yeah. Well, talk a little bit about, and it's interesting. I get so many inquiries now, and that's during a bull market, but people, friends I haven't heard from in so long, they'll be texting me, ringing up my phone, or I'll meet them at conferences like the ones that you attend, or I'll just meet them here in Atlanta or whatever, and everybody wants advice. What's some advice you can give to those people? And I think really, how do you get good advice, if you would? Talk to me about that.
First off, I know you're going to ask me for some stocks later, probably, and I'm on the front end of the spectrum, the very early stage exploration development companies. I'm not in the producing side. So my first advice to people would be, if you're listening to this and you don't know what the junior exploration space is, and this is the first time you heard it, you don't need to be investing in that space. It's really a small slice of your pie. You're trying to get a huge return with high risk, but you're not risking the whole pie. So if, again, your listeners are new to the resource space, or they're listening to this because they see the price of gold and silver and copper reaching record highs, they still need good advice, but they need to be looking at the bigger companies. You know, again, this is what I talk about is high risk exploration plays. So, you know, but again, good advice, even in the junior sector, is very valuable to have. So you've got brokers and newsletter writers, and just like any type of business, they're, you know, auto mechanics. You can have a good auto mechanic or a bad auto mechanic. So you really want to have a good one. So, you know, there's a lot of people. I mean, I guess I can name a few, but I'll leave people out and don't like to do that. But, you know, a lot of people subscribe to newsletters. I mean, there's obviously the shows like yourself, which are very beneficial, but you really want to have someone, whether it's a broker, looking at your overall financial position, or a newsletter writer that's designing a portfolio, if you're going to be in this space. And, you know, there's some great guys. I mean, you know, I'm good friends with Joe Muzumdar, who writes Exploration Insights. Joe's a geologist. Joe took over that newsletter for Brent Cook, who's also a geologist and used to be Rick Rule's lead geologist a long time ago on vetting deals. So those guys are very technical. Joe Muzumdar runs the show now. Brent's an advisor. But, you know, Joe's a great guy. He travels to everything that he doesn't recommend something unless he's put boots on the ground. And he is a geologist. So, you know, and again, you know, there's pluses and minuses. But, you know, I use those guys all the time to vet the geology. But I also like to know, you know, some other good guys. I like people and structure, as we've talked about in interviews before. So there's a gentleman by the name of Nick Hodge. Nick is Digest Publishing, and his partner Gerardo Del Real writes sort of a junior mining letter, which is the higher risk. Nick has a couple different letters. He's got one that is geared towards people that want to do private placements in our sector, like you and I do probably, and get warrants with that. He's got a fantastic track record with his private placement service over the last 12, 13 years, not just in this bull market. He's very good at vetting people, understanding the structure of a deal. And because, you know, not everything you invest in is going to work in this space, even if everybody does everything right. There's some luck involved, right, Andy?
Yeah,
so
100%.
Nick and Gerardo, I think his newsletter is called the Junior Mining Monthly. And Nick Hodge writes Underground Alpha. They're both with Digest Publishing. Good guys. There's a lot of good brokers that I like. I often talk, I'm sure you've heard the name, the DeGroote brothers.
Yep.
You know, a group of brothers make me look small, and I'm 6'2". They're all very tall, but and Marcel DeGroote, was involved with so many companies that he's helped start that have been successful, like even Sandstorm Royalty, which was just bought out by Royal Gold. But one of his brothers is Bernie DeGroote. He's with Canaccord in Canada, and they have both U.S. and Canadian accounts. Bernie's a very knowledgeable broker, and there's other ones. I'm just naming a few. Obviously Dave Elliott's been around a long time, a good person if you're Canadian and you want, and his partner Andrew Williams. Those guys know the resource sector very well, and there's plenty of other ones. But and if you're in the States, obviously Rick Rule's old firm, which is Sprott Global, based here in San Diego where I'm at, they've got a number of brokers there. Some are geologists, some are financial analysts. But again, those are the types of people that can help you, and you really design a portfolio. Someone like me that just names some stocks, they may not fit with your what you're trying to do, or maybe you already have 10 gold stocks that you don't need another gold stock. So again, you want to get someone that's either you're building your portfolio on their advice, or they're a broker that would be a newsletter writer or a broker that's actually looking at everything you have and saying, hey, you're overexposed to copper in the junior space, or you're overexposed to this. So that off the top of my head, and there's a lot of other good people too. I just named a few.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. And also thank you for giving the disclosure. And I can't emphasize that enough. If you're just a passive viewer, or even an active viewer of this show, don't buy if you're really not in this space, meaning you're not aware, or you just don't have experience in this space. This is not some place that you just blindly throw money at, even though if you do blindly throw money at some of those companies can go to 10, 20, 30 times, but it's really, you're going to lose all your money in the longer run. I can't emphasize that enough. And I speak from that from experience, if you would. And I've been doing this for almost as long as you, Jeff, about 30 years. I can't emphasize the team around you. Get a team around you, and just really get good people around you. They'll really, the money you pay to them, you're going to save exponentially on your returns. So,
can I add one thing, Andy, real
please.
Quick?
Please.
Yeah. So the other thing, when you come into a market like we're in right now, which I did come into that market in 1994 or five, which
Me
was
too.
A major bull market in the resource sector. So I warn people, because I did this when I was in my 20s. I thought I found a broken slot machine, because everything I bought, it didn't matter, went up.
Right.
And you're kind of in that market now, and be very aware that these bull markets last for a few years. And then we get these long dry markets, and most of this stuff, 90% of these companies are junk. They won't survive the bull market, or they'll, so again, the real test of being good at this is when you don't have the bull market. And I've done very well the last 7 or 8 years with some great companies that have gone up thousands of percent because of the real deal, the real people, real assets. So if you're just getting into this market, don't think you're too smart right now. And if you have been in it for the last year, that everything works. Eventually, you got to come down to people and structure, because the bull market doesn't last.
1,000%. And I would always think to myself, I fight it. Actually, I think I'm way too smart in a bull market because everything goes up. And then I kick myself way too much in a bear market or a sideways market because I think I'm stupid at some calls, and maybe I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, couldn't agree more with you in that. Let's talk a little bit about some companies here. But what are some good questions that you ask to companies first before we go into specific names? How do you get to know them? And what makes your decision on capital? I know we talked about share structure in the past, but just give maybe just a few questions that you would like to ask to companies. And just for the record, I grill companies to all my people in person. I am not, I'm really nice on camera. but I'm not
Yeah.
very, I wouldn't say I'm mean at all. I'm always very kind and gracious in person, but I am very critical in person because I really have my investor hat on in the fight of it. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, again, not to be redundant, but it comes down to people and structure. My first question is, what have you done before? What has your board done before? I hate when companies say we have 300 combined years of mining experience. Well, I hope so. There's seven guys that are in their 80s. So, but again, what I really want to know is, have you built and sold a company? How have you made shareholders money before? Show me where you made, because most of these guys have been in other companies if they've had a 20 or 30 year career. And there's very few that again, obviously, building a company and selling it for a record high share price is pretty good for all shareholders. But even in a bull market, what did you, even if it didn't work out longer term because the commodity price changed, what did you do and why was it successful for shareholders? So it's about people and what they've done. And that eliminates about 90% of the people. I don't even have to be mean, Andy, because they already know they're in trouble. But I get to my second question, and then it eliminates a lot of other companies. And really, it's my first question before I get to people. I want to know about the share structure. Who have you sold shares to? Where did you buy your shares at? Who owns these shares? Too many of these companies, you'll see, they sold shares, 20 million shares, when they founded the company at a quarter penny or a half a penny. And they want me to write a check at 40 cents. That's a pretty good return if you wrote a check at half a penny. And then you have the problem, where do they put those shares? Are they fully reporting, or are they in their cousin's name? So I want to know where all the shares are. I want to know that whatever I'm writing a check to, that they have this have a longer term goal than even me, which is a pretty long term goal. They need to build a company and actually make it work for them to make money. So usually, if you ask them about the share structure, and again, I eliminate 95% of the companies I'm talking to, even if there's a few of them have good people, because I just don't want to mess with a share structure. And I also want to know that the other shareholders that are there in before me or coming in with me, they're like-minded. They're not going to be short-term. They're going to let the company develop. So that's what I look for.
Yeah, excellent. And again, I want to encourage all my viewers and listeners here, when you do talk to CEOs, and highly, highly recommend, in fact, I think it's a must, talk to directly to the CEO and be hard on them, and just ask those very pointed, direct questions. And actually, what I found in doing that, and I've done probably 500 interviews, not only online, but also in person over the last 2 to 3 years, what I found is that the good ones actually really like it. They really like it. So, Jeff, again, we have been screaming here. So, our viewers and listeners love names. We'll give some names here. I'm going to ask you some names, but just to all my viewers and listeners, keep in mind these are not recommendations. And also just know that because it's up today doesn't mean it's going up tomorrow. And also, stuff that is up typically comes down some. So, and some of these companies that, Jeff might be mentioning, I'll give full disclosure if I'm an investor in them. But go ahead. Yeah, what's coming? What's at your top of your mind? Some companies.
Well, like I said before, Andy, I'm on the front end of the curve, and nobody should take this as investment advice. I consult for some of these companies. I am a large shareholder in some. Some I don't own. I guess I do own shares in all the ones that I may mention to you. But again, I'm not giving investment advice. I'm saying do some due diligence. But I'm looking at news. We're having a big day today. Most of the stocks are up. So again, they could be down tomorrow. And I've got a couple companies that are up 20% today, like Bravo Mining. I love Bravo. I've been a shareholder for years, and and I've bought at higher prices, and I think I've even bought at higher prices than it trades at now. But I was in early to that company. But my point being that it's up 20% today. It could be down 15% tomorrow. I don't know. So, but if I was going to pick some companies that have recently had news, I guess I'll go with companies that have had news. I'm a large shareholder in a company called North Shore Uranium. They announced, I think, this morning, that they're raising money at 25 cents a share. I'll be participating in that financing. I do own shares cheaper, and I participated in their previous financing. The stock has done very well. It's at 25 cents, but if you look at the chart, it was 5 or 6 cent stock, mid-year or something like that. But why I think North Shore Uranium is interesting, because this money they're raising will go towards advancing their new asset that they just acquired in the second half of this year, called Rio Porco, which is in New Mexico. It's got a historic resource of 11 million pounds of uranium. Blake Steele just joined the board. He's one of the largest shareholders of the company. Blake sold his last company, this is where people come in, which was called Azarga Uranium, to Encore Uranium for $210 million. So my bet on something like North Shores with a market cap at 25, 26 cents, their market cap's about $15 million. I think they'll be able to advance that asset. And hopefully Blake can repeat what he's done in the past, which is actually sell this ISR deposit. They still have to prove that it is ISR amenable. But anyway, they had news today that was interesting. Another piece of news in a company I own a lot of shares was Empress Royalty, who I know you've interviewed before. Top-notch royalty and streaming company. Alexandra, the woman CEO, who's one of the sharpest people in the business, been in the royalty business forever. It got announced today. I haven't talked to them yet, but it got announced that one of their large shareholders has is rebalancing their portfolio, and they sold 12 million shares to StreamX, which is Frank Giustra's company. So StreamX now becomes a 9.9% shareholder of Empress.
Interesting.
I can't help but think that might be a good thing, because if you're in the resource space, Frank Giustra has been around a long time, has built and sold many companies and had companies fail, but obviously they're not here for just the short term. So again, I think that's an interesting development. And then again, in the royalty space, I encourage your listeners, Tether Gold did an interview yesterday. You can probably find it on the internet with Canaccord, and I'll forward it to you later, Jason. I'm Jason, sorry,
That's
Andy.
okay. Yeah, please. Please do.
You look like a friend of mine named Jason, Andy.
He's a good-looking
Yeah, he is a
guy.
good-looking guy. He's bald like both of us. But anyway, I'll forward you that interview. It's really interesting to hear
Please.
what Tether Gold sees in the space. Why, and that's also Tether. But they're buying up royalty companies. You've seen what they've done with Elemental. So again, I think the news on Empress Royalty is really interesting. I need to find out more about StreamX's investment and owning 9.9% of the company. Another company that had news in the last week was Headwater Gold, which I've been a shareholder of for a long time. I was underwater for a long time, but now I think I'm up. Great first-class prospect generator run by Caleb Stroup. They announced earlier in the week, I believe, or maybe late last week, that they've had their third major come in and joint venture projects from them. So it was announced that Centerra's project in Idaho's potentially could spend up to 25 million. That's on top of Newmont and OceanaGold already spending potentially $100 million on, I think, four or five other projects. So, but again, Headwater's up today. Price of gold's up 72, but Headwater is a good speculation with good people, and management owns 30% of the company. A company that's down a little bit, I don't know if it's tax loss selling, but you get some, again, it's a copper-focused company called Kincora Copper. They will be at Rick Rule's, matter of fact, all these companies except for North Shore will be at Rick Rule's conference where we met last year. But Kincora Copper is another prospect generator. Sam Spring runs that. It's got to be one of the hardest working guys I've met in 30 years in the business. Works around the clock. They're joint ventured with projects all over Australia. Their technical team is bar none. They're the ex Newcrest guys that made the Cadia discovery and very accomplished geologists. So they've got a joint venture with Anglo, who's drilling. They're looking for big copper gold porphyries. Expensive to look for, worth tens of billions of dollars if you find one. So Kincora Copper does not have copper at this point, but they're in the biggest belts in Australia with major partners funding the drilling. And Kincora Copper's, $35 million market cap is still a very small company. But I think it's actually down today. So I like Kincora Copper. Another company, since we're just doing companies, is I know you've interviewed them and out at Rick's conference, Revival Gold. Revival's a little different. I mean, for me, because it's a bigger market cap company. It's still tiny, but I think Revival's market cap's probably close to what, 180, 200 million
Yep,
Canadian.
180.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, but Hugh Agro is one of the principals that helped found Kinross. Again, people. He came on to that company, I believe, when it was under $1 billion market cap, and when he left, it was a over $10 billion market cap company. Kinross is a recognizable name. Revival Gold was the company he started because he believed the price of gold was going to rebound. He started a little bit early. I think it was 2018 or 19, but he's correct and gold's rebounding. He's put two tremendous assets together in the United States, which is important, both in Utah and Idaho. Those, I think, have a combined resource. Doesn't mean you can mine it. They're working on the Utah project to show the economics of it. But it's about 6 million ounces of gold with lots of exploration potential. So Revival offers you a lot of leverage to the price of gold. And again, you have someone who knows how to execute in Hugh Agro. So another interesting company.
But let me interview you real quick. Disclaimer to all my viewers, I am an investor in Revival Gold, and they are a sponsor of my channel. After this interview drops, I will be buying more, and I have been accumulating. I think the world of Hugh. I spent a lot of time with him when he was in Atlanta. Why I think the world of him? Well, why I think the world of Revival is just number one, the rocks are the rocks, and they got a bunch of great rocks. That's how I'd put that. And then just getting to know Hugh, that guy is experienced. He's done this before. And key thing he stood out to me, Jeff, is he says, "Andy, I'm a shareholder first." And that made the what a great thing to say. But he's also doing that. He buys in the open market. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, just to add my disclaimer again, I am a shareholder in all those companies I probably just named, I think. And I consult for a number of them, if not all of them. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
So again, and I'm a fairly large shareholder. I can't exit easily, and I need to see companies actually develop. If you want, if your listeners are junior market people, this will be a wild one. A lot of these companies have moved in this bull market. You're kind of, you got to believe, like your first question to me, is this, if this market's ending tomorrow, which I don't think it is, we don't want to be the buyer today. But I don't think it is. And there's companies that haven't moved. And again, everybody in this business is trying to find, hey, what's the least undervalued? But company you might want to look at, it's a wild card, is a company called Palomina. I think the symbol's PA on the Canadian exchange, but it's run by Andrew Thompson. He's put together a tremendous property portfolio in Peru, and he's been doing that. But Peru's starting to come back pretty. Before it was a little bit, politics had changed and it got a little bit rougher there. I see Peru coming back. A lot of people are looking. Peru seems to be moving faster on permitting. He's had his projects for a while. He's a forward thinker. The stock hasn't really done much in this bull market because he hasn't really had a lot to say, even though he's got a lot of good projects. I backed him before in his old company called Soltura, which he ended up selling to Agnico Eagle, the major miner. I think Palomino is an interesting speculation. For those people that are very understand the junior market, it's a 12, 13 cent stock. Market cap's probably 8, 9 million Canadian. So, what is that, like 5 or 6 million US? I can't remember the exchange anymore, Andy. But, I have a feeling that, with this market we're having and his experience and the properties he has, we'll see him doing stuff next year with it. So Palomino is an interesting speculation. I don't know anything except he's done stuff before. And he's a major shareholder of his own company. Again, it comes down to structure. He owns a big chunk and he buys in the market. So yeah, I bet on people like that.
Yeah, excellent. Jeff, we're at getting into the end of 26, is there anything really? Do you have any? What are your expectations? I should say, we're getting to the end of 25. What are your expectations, if you have any, for 26? Is it just a continuation of anything, or is there something? Is there a trigger event? Yeah, just what's your expectation moving into
Well,
25?
I was asked at the New Orleans conference, on a panel, they said, can everybody tell us what that black swan event that scares them is? Well, by its very nature, you don't know what the black swan event is. So, I know that I'm always scared, Andy, because you've got money in the markets, and if things go wrong, you on paper, you're down. So again, especially when it comes to the junior resource space, I mean, this goes for all, investing, but you don't want to over leverage yourself. And if you're in the junior space, you want to realize that on any given quarter, you could watch your portfolio. I mean, when COVID hit, I watched my portfolio drop in half. By the end of the year, I was up 50%, and it's a big portfolio. So again, a lot of money, on paper. So it's a very high risk sector. So I don't have a prediction. My general take is at some point, the excess in our overall markets is going to be taken out of the overall markets. In the short term, that'll be very painful. I think the resource sector, because liquidity dries up when people need to have liquidity, even gold comes down because people, gold's liquid. They can sell some. They need to beat their margin call on their freaking AI stock or whatever it is. So I'm very aware that I think that will happen. Do I know when that's going to happen? No. But I do realize that the nature of the resource business, we have critically underexplored for the resources we need to continue growing, and the world's going to continue growing. I know that. So again, it comes back that if I can't get the timing perfectly right, I want good people and good capital structure because those companies can weather the things I can't see because I don't know what the black swan event is. So
Yeah, great advice. Jeff, I just asked this, but I know you're really under the radar, but how do people find you, or should they just look on YouTube, or yeah, and I know I just need to ask
Yeah,
that. Yeah, how do
I
people?
do. I do some interviews. I've done some more on this market, just on my thoughts. And I often try to warn people the junior resource market is a very difficult market. But you can look at other videos I've done. But again, I encourage your listeners to find someone that they can regularly be in touch with that can give them good advice, whether it's a newsletter writer or a broker. I don't. I'm a private investor. I consult to make sure that the capital I give these companies is spent well, and hopefully they raise capital at higher prices in the future, which is good for me. But if you see me at a conference, Andy, I go to a lot of the resource conferences. And you come up and say, I saw you in an interview. I'm happy to answer some questions. And if you have them, definitely tap me on the shoulder.
Yeah, excellent, Jeff. I want to thank you so much. Love to have you on again in January. And yeah, I'm looking forward to a great 2026.
I think it'll be a good one. We'll see.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.